When we think of great faith, some people think that, oh, you know, this man, you know, he's a great faith. Why? Because the moment he pray, his prayer answered. Immediately. That's why he has a great faith. But the question, how about those that pray and still stand on God's word and haven't seen yet, which means that they don't have great faith? So great faith is not about you immediately your prayer answered. It's not. Or sometimes we think of, if you know some of theological, you know, we pray like a King James, you know, thou, thee, you know, we use all these words, which means that we have a great faith. Or sometimes, you know, we use some terms, you know, Christian terms, the church, you know, hallelujah, brother, you know, hallelujah, oh, you have a great, you know, this guy have a great faith. It's not about this. It's something more than this great faith. A great faith is having great God, which means that the focus is not your faith. Let me just share this one. Some people have faith in their faith. Even the Christians, they have faith in their faith. You know, I said, you know, I know the moment that I pray, God answer me. But what about those that pray that they are waiting? I am talking about faith and great faith. So the focus about great faith is not your faith. It's about the greatness of God. You have a great God that gives you a great gift of faith. So you, by looking at God and knowing Him, you have a great faith. That's a great faith. That's why we choose to talk about great faith. For maybe for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we want to talk about great faith and see the life of different people in the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews, and see how they stand in their faith. And we want to see in the different aspects and just study and look at all these people. I wanted to share about great faith. Great faith is not about you, it's about God. It's about how the promises of God is great, how He is wonderful, how He is faithful. That's faith. Great faith comes from great God. Amen? Everyone, as I see in my life, everyone has faith. In some elements, if you see that they have faith, it takes faith for you. Every day, without opening your engine, you go and start your car. It takes faith. How many of you in the morning, before you get in the car, you go and check your engine? No one. It takes faith. By faith, you go and get in the car and start your car. Some of you have a fancy car. It's only a button. Hallelujah. Some of you still have a key. I have a key. So I just put the key, and by faith, I start. It takes faith for you to go to a restaurant and eat. And you know, some of the restaurants, it requires more faith. Let me ask this question. Whenever you go to a restaurant, have you go to the kitchen and see whether they want to poison you or not? It takes faith. It's a kind of trust. Whenever you open a water bottle because you trust the brand, and it takes faith, imagine maybe one drop of poison, it's just done. You go to heaven. But by faith, you drink. I also realize that some of the things you don't see that, but you live by faith. We don't see electricity, right? But you, by faith, you go and switch on the light. You never see the electricity. Even you don't understand. I don't know about surgery. I don't know about medical things. I don't know about medicine. But I just go by faith to a doctor. And he gave me a medicine. A kind of powder, you know, chemical powder. We call it as a pill. How many of you do you know that exactly what is that? We don't know. But by faith, we take it. So everyone has faith in some elements. And if you look at it, even in the corporate world, also in the company, they want to build trust. So they have some kind of exercise trust sometimes. So when we trust, because oftentimes we equate faith with trust. He said, we have faith in you because I trust in you. But what is biblical faith? I want to share with you first about biblical faith. Make sure that I lay a right foundation, and then I'm going to share about one of the characters of the Bible regarding faith. By saying about faith, I want to share from the book of Hebrews. So the focus is in from the book of Hebrews. So for all these weeks that you come, all of the verses will share from the book of Hebrews. So the book of Hebrews, before I jump into that verse, I want to share with you about the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, written by unknown writer. We don't know who was the writer. Some says it was Paul. The other says maybe Timothy. Another saying that maybe it's Apollos. We don't know exactly. A lot of people actually, they're saying that this book is from Paul. But even me, if I just studied, I realized that it's not from Paul. So as we know, this book potentially written from 30 to 15 after the resurrection. It's about 60 to 90 AD. As I study, I just realized that it should be 65 AD. It should be 65. And 65, it was a year before the fire in the Rome happened. And Rome was burned by fire. This is what we know. So as I mentioned to you, the author unknown, we don't know exactly. And also, we know that the author, whoever was the author was a very high educated guy. And he knows exactly about Greek speaking. That's why I concluded it shouldn't be from Paul. Because all the quotes from Old Testament is not from Hebrew Old Testament. It's from Greek Old Testament. And Paul used to quote from Hebrew Old Testament. But this book, all of the quotes is from Greek Old Testament. And the guy was very high educated, very brilliant, and he wanted to encourage the Christian at that time because they were in a severe persecution. And they persecuted. So he wanted to encourage the Christian to stand strong in the faith. So as you see, the audience also, Jewish Christian, that going through persecution. And all these people, because of persecution, some of them, they say that, oh, that's hard. It's better to back to Jewish custom, Jewish tradition. And just stick on our old religion. So that's why the author was trying to encourage all the Christians at that time to stand strong in faith. So that's the background of this book. So this book, particularly written for Hebrews. And I'll tell you more. When you look at chapter 11, all the story is really cryptic. It's very short. And if you were like a non-Hebrew, you said, what is that? Who was Noah? Who was Moses? Because he crypted. He crypted and he just short, make it short, summarize it like a one verse and try to encourage the people. So we want to go to Hebrew chapter 11. So Hebrew 11:1, he said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrew chapter 11, I can break it down in three parts. Verse 1, faith described. from verse 2 to 31, faith exemplified. And from 32 to 40, faith summarized. So if you see, that's a description. That's how the author described faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So the idea is this, that you have assurance. This word, actually, assurance or substance, which means that you stand on something. You stand on a solid, firm foundation. And this one, give this idea that you are assured, you stand on something. And you stand on God's word. You stand on God's promises. That's a verse. And also conviction of things not seen. Which means that you cannot see by your physical eyesight, but you can see with your spiritual eyesight. You remember the story of 12 spies in the book of Numbers. Moses sent 12 spies to just investigate Promised Land. And all they back, after they investigate, they just explore, they back and they just wanted to give the report to Moses. You know, 10 of them give the report by physical eyesight. They said that, man, no way to go to that Promised Land. I'm telling you, they are giant. They are big. We are like grasshoppers. We cannot go there. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they just see by a spiritual eyesight. They said it doesn't matter how size they are. We can go. We can invade. And you know why they say? Because God promised to them. So instead of seeing the realities, they see what? God's promises. That's faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You don't see that, but you are sure of God's promises. You are in current realities here. You have so many challenges. And imagine here is God's word, God's promises. Between these two is faith. You walk by faith. I remember in our church back to Iran, in our house church, there was a lady that came to the Lord through his son-in-law and her daughter. She came to the Lord, and she was a kind of middle age, and she was a bit first very suspicious of faith and so many questions, but afterwards she came to the Lord. And she was very excited to grow in faith. And she was so passionate. But the problem with her was the husband. The husband, every single night, beaten her up because of her faith. And sometimes when she came to our house church, we could see. We could see the sign of, you know, how she beaten up. And she was so, you know, sometimes her eyes, but she served the Lord wholeheartedly. She was very good in cooking. And she said that for every meeting that I come, I cook for everyone free. She served the Lord, but she was beaten up. And one time I just approached her and I said, hey, if it's hard for you to come to church, it's okay. We will come to you. We will come and see you. We can bring church to you. It doesn't necessary to come. I said, no, that's my faith, Pastor. And you know, I stand in the promise of God because God says you and your household will be saved. She stands on God's word. And let me tell this, after a few years, the husband came to the Lord. It was amazing. She was beaten up by the husband. 5 Bible burned by the husband. And imagine, she stood on God's word. Even though she couldn't see that, but she said, "Pastor, that's my faith. I and my household will be saved. That's the word of God." So in the current reality, she was challenged. She was beaten up. The situation was not okay. But she see by her spiritual eyesight. That's faith. And I still remember the time that the husband came to our church, and in one of our meetings, actually the husband went to the lady and bowed down in front of all of us and cried. And he said, "I am so sorry for all the things that I've done. Please forgive me. Please." You know, the guy was like a lorry driver, very low educated. But faith, by faith of that lady, God changed that man. That's faith. I like this quote from Corrie ten Boom. He said, "We don't know what the future will hold, but we know who holds the future." That's faith. We don't know what the future will hold. I don't know. You know, I am here. I'm walking by faith for 7 years. I don't know. I'm very in an uncertain stage of my life. I don't know about my next month. I just walk by faith. You know why? Because I don't know about the future. But something I'm pretty sure, I'm certainly sure, that God will hold my tomorrow. So our future maybe is uncertain, but we know who hold it. That's God. Faith is absolute trust in the loving and powerful God to fulfill all His promises. I read it to you again. Faith is absolute trust in a loving and powerful God to fulfill all His promises. So we stand on God's word. We stand on God's character. We stand on God's promises. And by faith, we walk. By faith, we move on. Because we know who holds our tomorrow. So that's faith. And when you stand on something that you are assured, you know, it's a firm foundation. That's the word of God. That's the promises of God. Let me share this. It's not about just standing on something. Now you can stand up. You can stand for. You can stand up, not blend in. You know, to go with the flow doesn't take any courage. Right? You see the word. It just teach you and tell you many things about morality, about the lifestyle, about marriage, about doing business. So for just going with the flow, it doesn't take any courage. But when you stand up, stand forward God and say, "That's not right. I don't want to do this because my God tell me something else." And Noah was one of that people that stand up for God. And I want to share with you today about Noah. After we talk about faith, what is faith, I want to take you to Hebrews 11:7 and talk about Noah. This is Hebrews 11:7. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." I want to share with you and unpack this verse for you today. And we want to see at least 4 demonstrations of Noah's faith. 4 demonstrations of Noah's faith. He's a great example of faith that obeys. Because each character has a kind of sign. For example, Abel is a great example of faith that worship. Enoch is a great example of faith that fellowship. And Noah is a great example of faith that obey. This man obey, and I share with you more about the condition, the time of Noah, and you will see that how this man amazingly stand on God's word. He stand up for God. He didn't go with the flow. He didn't go in a way that the society at that time tell. He said that that's a way of life, that's a way of morality. He didn't go that. And he chose to stand on God's word. The first one is he was warned by God about the future. You see the beginning of the verse? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. So Noah was warned. Maybe you ask, warned about what? Because this verse, as I mentioned to you earlier, is very cryptic. Because it's written for Hebrews. So all the Hebrews already know what was going on. But I want to share with you and give you at least five conditions of Noah's time. This is the worldwide condition, because we don't have much time to go and read all the verses in the Genesis 6, because I want to take all of you to Genesis chapter 6. So worldwide conditions in Noah's time before judgment. So God was going to judge the world. Why? Because there were some conditions at that time. The first one is increase in population. You see the first one. He said, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them. It was a kind of rapidly increase. It just increased. The population was so high. Maybe you ask, Pastor, in the time of Noah, maybe a few hundred thousand maybe leave. Maybe it's in your mind. But let me just share with you this. In the time of Noah, as some of the researchers and scholars went back to chapter 5, Genesis 5, and they just examined it carefully about the number of the people. And by the way, do you know that at those times, the people live very long? They live about 800, 900. So imagine if I live 800, 900, how many children I could have. I read a book, the Genesis and the Flood. It's just written by John Whitcomb and Henry Morris, if I'm not mistaken. This book is amazing because they really carefully examine that book, see all the records of the children and all the genealogy and all those things they examine, and they just calculated 18 generations. And they come up with the number of 779 million people. For sure, it's not less than 500 million. And they say that in the time of flood, it could be 1 billion. I'm not saying that's an accurate number, but it could be. The second condition, sexual depravity. You see verse 2? The sons of God saw the daughter of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they choose. They choose anyone they want. So you see the broken families, the broken relationship, all the things depraved, sexual depravity. And now you look at your society about sex. It's really depraved. You see the number of divorce. You see the number of family that broken. I just got to know some of the family here, and they share with me. And I think two or three of them, they share the same story, but in a different version, about the guy in that family have an affair with another woman. You see this verse? They just choose. They took as their wives any they choose. So they just go out of God's order and do whatever they wanted. So that's the sexual depravity, increase in wickedness. This word in Hebrew is ra, wickedness, which means that it goes from bad to worse. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The people just go far and far and far from God and do whatever they wanted. I think Paul already mentioned in Romans 1 the condition, the wickedness. He says their foolish minds were darkened, they were futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened, they did not want to retain God in their thinking. So God gave them over to a debased mind to do whatever they wanted to do with themselves. That's the wickedness. They do whatever, they just go far, far from God. And also you can see violence. In that time, you see that verse, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and the earth was filled with violence. So you see sexual depravity, you see wickedness, you see violence in that time, and you compare all those to now. What do you see? There are a lot of similarity. The people just go day by day far and far from God. They said, there is no God, come on. And they just bring just many logical stuff and all these things that they have because they want to just find a way that they say that I want to do whatever I want. That's the wickedness. And all these things, you see the condition. Now, with this condition, Noah was there and it seems that he was really looking for God, searching for God. He loves God. That's why the Bible says in Genesis 6:8, he said, but Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord. So imagine in those kind of sexual depravity, wickedness, violence, everyone do whatever they wanted. The crime was so high, but a man loved God. And the Bible says, Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord. The following verse, he said, Noah was a righteous man, righteous and blameless. Let me just share with you this. Some people think that, oh, maybe Noah was a very righteous man, which means that he has never sinned. No. The Bible says all the people sin. By looking at this verse, you just realize that Noah, before the Bible mentioned that he was a righteous man, he mentioned that he find favor, which means that he received the grace from God. Now God see him as a righteous man. So it's not about because Noah was a righteous man, he find favor. No, it's another way. He received God's grace and then he do whatever God wants. He had a godly life. That's the righteous. That's the meaning of righteous, which means that you have a right conduct, which means that you live by God's standard. And blameless means complete integrity. So because he wholeheartedly loved God, he find favor, grace from God, now he live by faith and he live and he has a godly life. And Noah get a warning. So he has a fellowship with God. He walked by God, and then he got a warning. God said, you know, Noah, I'm going to judge this generation. You see the depravity. You see the wickedness. So I'm going to judge this generation. Your job, you build a boat and escape with your family. Judgment. Noah, by intimacy with God, he heard from God. That's my point. After all these things, he warned by God because he has a fellowship with God. He walked with God. That's why he got a revelation about the future. How about today? What's the application for today? God can speak to you. But you know, he speaks to us through this book. As much as you're familiar with this book, you know God. You know his promises. Even you know his warning. After he warned by God, he was prompted by God's word, which means He heard God's word, and before he acted upon it, something happened. The word says, he divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. So when he heard God's word, he took it to his heart and moved. Why? Because he has fear of God. Maybe you say that, Pastor, which it means that he is scared. He is scared of God. It's not about scaring. This word, fear, which means, you know, in the Greek word, is reverence, respect. Because God was a great God, and Noah just realized he respect God. So he motivated because he respect God. So he motivated by God's fear. He moved. He take it to his heart, the God's word, and then he act upon it, which is the next one. I'll share it with you. What I want to talk about this motivation, moved. When was the last time that you read the Bible and your heart moved? Because without motivation and moving, maybe it's hard to do an action. The next one, after he moved, he walked in obedience. I think that's the main point of my message. He heard God's word. He moved by God's word. Now he obeyed God's word. How he obeyed? God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. And this is the response of Noah. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He literally did everything because God gave him a structure of how he need to build the ark, even the size, even everything. The size, I'll share with you more. And he did everything. He obeyed God wholeheartedly. For obedience, we need to really move by God, but God's word. If we are not moved, if our heart is not moving motivation there, we cannot obey. One of our church members in Iran, he was same age as me, and we were very close friend. He came to the church. The wife actually was more excited about God's word and, you know, grow in faith, and she became one of the leader. But the husband, the friend of mine, because he was a businessman, he was very busy as a business in China and Taiwan and do export and import. So he was very busy. And he just come to the church sometimes, not coming to the church. And one night, he called me about 1 a.m. And he said, I want to see you. I said, now? He said, yeah. So our house was quite distant. So I drove to and go to his house. Actually, not his house, his office. Because he said that I want to see you in my office. I went there. And then I just sit down and he shared with me. He shared and said, something that I read from the Bible, I read it before, but it's really this time moved me. And I want to just share with you something about my life. I said, what is that? He said, maybe you're surprised. Please don't punch on my face. And I said, what is that? He said, because of this word, you know, he read some part of the Bible that talk about, you know, purity and all those. And he said, I moved about, you know, I need to have a pure life and I don't. I said, why is that? He said, you know, I am addicted of pornography. And I just look at him because I knew him well. We were a very close friend. I knew his wife. But, you know, he said, you know, always I wanted to avoid, you know, I always read that word and I said, oh, okay, now it's not that big deal. I just do and I try to not to do it every day. So he play with that word. But finally he said that as I read the Bible tonight, it's really moved. My heart moved. And I want to do something. I said, okay. Here I am. That's the way if you want to really just come out or get out of these things. And he just gave me about 12, 15 cards, you know, because he just put all this unit, you know, in the satellite, all the decode one. And he just gave all these cards to me. I said, oh, I have all these things. So the first things that I did, I said, okay, just give me a Caesar. So I caught all of them. And he came, you know, for a kind of accountability, you know. He just always, we just talk. And then after, I think, few months, he really set free from that addiction. You see, when he moved by God's word, he acted upon it. And that's the next one that I want to share with you. Noah was prompted by God's word. He witnessed against the word. When you obey God, obedience leads you to mission. And you see that he didn't really literally preach to the world. By his lifestyle, by building ark in front of all the people in that time. You just imagine it. So he not just only warned, not only prompted, not only obey, he witnessed, he preached. That's why the word of the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He became a heir of righteousness. This is obedience. Because he obeyed, his obedience led him to a mission, which is be a witness for God. And Noah obeyed God. So I want to just end by this. As you listen to this message and this man, how he obeyed, he warned by God, he heard God's word, he moved by God's word, he obeyed God's word, and he preached God's word. Now it's your turn. When was the last time that you spent time with God and God speak to you about your life? Speak to you about your marriage. Speak to you about your business. Speak to you about your life. And when was the last time when God speak to you and you read the Bible, you really moved by God's word? You say to yourself that I am going to do something about it. And you obey. Sometimes it's hard. I know. I had an opportunity to go and work in Dubai in 2001. I was a very new brand Christian, a baby Christian. I just got saved, maybe 1 year. And I had a chance to go and work in Dubai. And my friend offered me that job. It was a very good job. I could go there and be a coordinator of a very good company that work in Hong Kong. And I was the one that worked in Dubai, so I was can be a boss, I can do everything I wanted, I have my car, my house, everything. And the other option was working in a factory in my country, in Iran. I had two options. When I just think of it and, you know, I just evaluate it, I end up with this idea to go to Dubai. That's very, very tempting. So I choose. And I just decided to go. But I remember the day before I went to get my ticket, I needed to get a ticket from Emirates. There was a ticket for Emirates Airline in my country that if you buy it, you can get 3 month visa. And I need that one, not the temporary one, go for only 1 week or 2 week. So the day before I went to agency to get my ticket, suddenly it just come to my mind. I said, hey, I make my decision, but I never pray to God. And I pray. And I pray to God. I said, God, you are my Savior. I trust in you. I made this decision, but if it's not your way, show me your way, please. I want to know you. I want to know your way. And maybe you cannot believe the day after I went with my friend to the agency to get my ticket. And I sit down, talk to the lady, and said, yeah, I want that ticket. Because he offered me the one that was very cheap. I said, no, I don't want that. I want another one that I can get 3-month visa. And you know what she said? He said, I'm sorry, sir, because 2 days ago we got a fax from United Arab Emirates that he said that they already suspended 3-month visa and we don't know how long it would take because of some issue that they have all at that time the Emirates UAE has with my country. He said, I already suspended. And I back home and I really didn't try even another way, another time to go to the agency. I said, okay, I really get my answer. And then God showed me that your calling is here, Daniel, in your country. There are a lot of lost people here. And you know, I choose to obey. I choose to obey. And I just stay in my country. We plant a church a few months later. And I have seen so many people came to the Lord. So I want to challenge you, all of you. I want to really pray for all of you. As you listen to this word, the life of Noah. Noah listened. Noah prompted, moved. Noah obeyed. And Noah preached. I want to pray for all of you. Maybe some of you here today, that's the first time. That's the first time to come to this church. I really want to encourage you. Come and get to the boat. Because the salvation is from Jesus. The Ark of Noah is the symbol today, salvation. And it just come from Jesus. And if you have so many challenges, you come to church for a while, but you have so many challenges in your life, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your job, in your study, in your relationship, I want to just really encourage you back. Spend time with God. Listen His word. Take it to your heart and then obey. Obey God. And then you can see you became like Noah became the heir of righteousness.